Beneath Cruel Waters, that's the name of the track by local musician Wendy Wu, who is in the studio with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's also the name of a book by Longmont author John Bassoff. Good morning to you as well.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks to both of you for coming in on the morning after election, seeing all the activity here behind the mics, right?
Yeah.
So we are here taking a break from election coverage to talk about your book, the music that accompanies it, and your work in general. So this particular book, I'm in the final seven pages of it.
Okay.
But I think I've read all the spoilers. It's a pretty dark, sinister overtones. I think you describe it as, what is it, like Denver noir or...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people talk about it as gothic noir.
That's the word, yes. Okay, yeah, so, but it's not the first book that you've written. It's just the latest in a series. Tell us about the trajectory of your work.
Yeah, this is book number 9 for me, actually, and they're all standalone novels, so it's not a series, but
right.
But all of them are dark, all of them are twisted, which, you know, day after the election, I figure... works well.
Let's all get some sinister overtones for everything. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, you're also a teacher here in the Longmont School District in St. Vrain. How do you incorporate writing into teaching? Have you found that letting your students have a personal connection with a writer makes them more interested in the craft?
I think so. I'm over at Longmont High School, and I think having somebody who has kind of walked the walk in addition to talk the talk is important and plays a good role in their learning. And, you know, they're impressed that their teacher has written some books, and, you know, some of them occasionally will ask to read it. I had one girl a couple years ago who asked if she could read the book, and she's this really sweet, innocent girl, and she grabbed one of my books, and then she came back a few weeks later, and she looked at me and said, "Mr. Bassoff, I'm never going to be able to look at you the same way again." But yeah, like they, you know, I think I've taught creative writing at Longmont High for a lot of years, and you know, just having that experience of somebody who's written and not just preaching at them, I think does influence them and help them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you alluded to, it's not necessarily the, you know, PG literature either. So how do you navigate that? Have there been any incidents of, you know, having to have grown-up conversations with grown-up parents or, you know, discussing, finding this way as an entry point to be able to talk about certain issues that aren't often touched upon with teens?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like when I first started writing these books, I used a pen name. And I remember when I got, I think, my second book published, I decided to go with my own name, and my mother was so upset at me. She was like, "This is such a terrible idea. You're going to get fired right away for this." And so far, so good. I mean, I've, you know, 9 books, I've never really had any issue with parents getting upset at the content. You know, I'm careful not to ever push my book on them. And, you know, there's definitely a part of me, the sleazy part's like, I should require all my students to buy this book. But but I haven't done that. And so I haven't had necessarily conversations with parents, because I don't know how many of them have read it. But definitely some of the students who have read it have been able to sit down and talk about things and have them read, type of stuff that they probably haven't read before, and it's cool for them to be able to talk to the person who wrote the book, you know, instead of just interpreting a book that they have no idea who the person is who wrote it.
And what you do teach in school, I mean, you mentioned creative writing. Are you teaching mostly writers who are already dead or writers who are still living?
I try to mix it up. We've gone away in high school from just teaching old dead white guys, you know. So right now in my class, for example, we're reading The Hate U Give. So we try to read some contemporary stuff and mix it up a little bit. But I do like a lot of those dead guys. So I definitely teach some of them.
Okay. And when you do have writers who are alive, are you able to take advantage of the fact that they're still alive and the fact that the internet is out there and communicating with these very, very much alive authors is a very real possibility?
Yeah, I should do more of that. You just come teach my class. No,
well, this is why I like the job. It's like I read a book and I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. Like, we should talk, which is what we're doing now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny. I do have a couple friends who are writers, and I've had my students read some of their short stories, and I had my friend come in. His name is Chris Ransom. He's a local horror author, and he came into the class and talked to the kids, and it was really cool having them read somebody. And then, you know, typically you have questions about what you're reading, and you don't get them answered because Edgar Allan Poe can't answer you. But Christopher Ransom, who's alive and a friend of mine, can answer them. So that was kind of cool to bring somebody like him in.
Okay. Well, okay. You mentioned Chris Ransom with horror, you with your gothic noir. You know, what's up with this area that's producing so many like dark, sinister themes in local authors?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's something in the water, I guess. But I think it's everywhere. I don't think it's just Colorado, but we got plenty of it here, and there's a lot of good settings for kind of twisted stuff. Whether we're talking, you know, a couple of my novels took place up in the mountains and kind of the isolated nature of that, or this book, Beneath Cruel Waters, is out on the eastern plains, and you know, where there's a lot of space and a lot of loneliness, and I think that lends itself well to kind of that dark, sinister stuff that I like to write. But yeah, we do. We've got a lot of them out here.
See, I was going to ask you if it was Longmont. So it's actually like out on the Eastern Plains. Like, is it an actual town that exists?
It was a fictionalized version of Longmont, but I kind of pushed it farther out into the Eastern Plains.
Okay.
And so the town is sort of the town in Beneath Cruel Waters is sort of a conglomerate of different small towns that I've been to. And, you know, nice thing about fiction is you get to fictionalize it and make it what you want to. But there's definitely, you know, for local people who read the book and are from Longmont, you'll definitely recognize some names of different places. So Longmont's recognized, but it's not the Longmont of 2022. It's a Longmont of yesterday and pushed a little farther out in the plains.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the book is about, without giving away too many spoilers, it's about family secrets. It starts when an adult son of a woman goes back to his childhood home after his mother has committed suicide for reasons that are unknown to him at the start. And he starts kind of digging into her personal effects to clean out her house and comes upon questions and questions. And it's hindered by the ability of people who are still living to answer those questions. And by their knowledge and by the sanity of somebody who may have the answers that he's looking for. So with that, why don't you read a passage from your book?
All right. I'll read just this as a short passage from the beginning of the book. And I don't really have to give a lot of background except for there's a man sitting in his house. Surrounding the table were three folding chairs. And sitting in one of the chairs was a man, probably in his early 30s, his head shaved and his jaw clenched. He wore a white t-shirt that was too small for his thick chest. Both of his arms were covered with tattoos, but the ink was fading. His most prominent tattoo was the one on his neck, a rose, blood dripping from its petals. He reached for a pack of cigarettes, pulled out a crooked one, and stuck it in the center of his mouth. He flicked open a flame and lit it. His eyes narrowed and smoke trickled from his nostrils. For several minutes, he barely moved, only occasionally lifting his calloused hand to his mouth to suck down more smoke. The cigarette was almost down to the filter when the man's head jerked to the right and his eye twitched. From the living room, the sound of the front door creaking open, and then footsteps on the hardwood floor. Still, he remained seated, unmoving. A moment later, a woman appeared, stopping in the doorframe. She was tall and thin and pretty. She had black hair piled high on her head and cornflower blue eyes. She wore lipstick, but no other makeup. A white dress fell just below her calves. A red purse dangled from her shoulder. The man gazed at the woman, and his mouth curled into a grin. "And now she's here," he said, and his voice was harsh, as if he hadn't used it in many months. "I kind of always figured you'd come back." The woman didn't answer, just remained in the doorway, her shoulders rising up and down, her lower lip trembling. "Come on, then," he said. "Have a seat. Have a drink." She shook her head, said, "I'm not thirsty." She took a step forward and then another. Her eyes were darting around, and her hand was rubbing up and down her purse. The man crushed out his cigarette and rose to his feet. "Fine. No drink. Come give me a kiss." "No," she said forcefully. "No." After a moment's hesitation, she reached into her purse. She pulled out a small pistol. The man nodded at her, said, "That for me?" She cocked the weapon and waved it vaguely in his direction. "You should have left us alone," she said. "You shouldn't have done what you did." "I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do a damn thing, but I do know you're not going to use that little pistol." The woman laughed, and it was a high-pitched, desperate laugh. Without saying another word, she closed one eye and aimed the gun at his chest. Then she squeezed the trigger once, twice, three times. The explosions echoed loudly in the kitchen. One of the bullets hit the man in the stomach, the other two in the chest. He slammed against the wall, groaning. He remained upright for a moment, as if trying to make up his mind whether to live or die, but life drained quickly, and he slid to the floor, blood smearing the wall behind him. For some time, he sat in that scarlet puddle, shoulders rising, breath rattling in his throat. Soon the rattling stopped, his eyes glazed over, and he was still.
Beneath Cruel Waters is an excerpt from Beneath Cruel Waters, written by John Bassoff and read by John Bassoff, who joins me in the studio along with Wendy Wu. Hello. Let's bring you into this as well.
Nice to see you. Nice to be here again. It's been a while.
Yeah, and you've got a guitar with you.
I'm holding my guitar, which is good. It makes me comfortable.
Yeah, well, tell me what you're going to do with that guitar.
I was going to play a song. John and I are childhood friends, so I follow him on Facebook, though, and he's very funny. So when he had talked about releasing this book, he said, "Let's, you know, do some stuff together." And, you know, a lot of the music I write is very, like happy and stuff. Like, I've got a song called Sun Drops, and so to you know, have a challenge of writing something that's darker and heavier, I wasn't sure if I could do it, but it just kind of came out. So that was the recording we did earlier. But I have other songs kind of in that realm, and I could do one.
Let's hear it.
Great. This is called Knowledge.
All right.
Eyes wide awake, no tunnel vision, no blindness, do you feel what's going on? Watch out behind you and in front of you, don't let the world pass by. Bloodshot eyes, don't be aware and not forgetful, be informed but not one-sided. Don't lay yourself be numb. Know what's going on. Know what's going on. Millions of people all around us, some are homeless, some lost sight of their way. And every face it looks familiar, everywhere I turn the needs a helping hand. It's so deceiving when your own life is unraveling, ends are far from end. We're always worried about money or lack of it. Makes you feel the world might end. Know what's going on. Know what's going on. Know what's going on.
Wendy Wu, yay! Right here, live in the studio at KGNU. Nice. Okay. Well, that wasn't too happy, but it wasn't too sad either. It's a nice happy medium for a post-election palate cleanse.
I know what's going on.
Great. So this is part of your song is part of a multimedia compliment. John, I think you had mentioned something about one of your students doing a video portion as well.
Well, we had a couple of my students did some artwork for this. So when the book came out, you know, something that's important to me is being able to kind of combine the different arts, and especially locally bringing people together. And so knowing Wendy, who really is kind of a local legend, I asked her just if she would be willing, and I assumed she would say no. And the fact that she said yes was so cool. And she came, we did, for one of my book launches, we went to Left Hand Brewery in Longmont, so we had kind of the local beer, and then we had the local writer, reading his stuff. Then we had the local musician playing her stuff, and then I had a couple of former students who did some artwork based on the book, and so we put that artwork up there, and then I do have another former student who is working on a video for the song that Wendy wrote, Beneath Cruel Waters. So it's a cool combination of being able to bring a bunch of local artists together and make something bigger than just me, and then just having a single book.
Well, and you mentioned former students. So how is it that you've had a connection with your students in a way that makes them come back after they've already left high school?
Yeah, I mean, probably 95% of the students are glad to be gone from me and hope to never see me again. But there are those 5% who, you know, for whatever reason we connected, or for some strange reason they liked me as a teacher, and then, you know, through social media, obviously it's a lot easier to kind of stay in touch with people. And so I have had a few students who are on social media, and a student named Isaiah Jackson who I taught. I mean, he's got to be like 30 years old now, but I taught him a long time ago, and he I just saw a lot of his stuff on social media, this beautiful artwork, and I knew he had read some of my books before, and so I just connected with him, said, hey, you want to do something for this book, and maybe it'll, you know, you can sell a few copies of your and he did. He created this beautiful artwork based on the book, and so that was real gratifying. It's cool to be able to, you know, to have a former student's do a piece of art based on something that I wrote, you know.
Okay. Well, time is flying. We are in the final minutes of our interview here. I'm just curious how you mentioned about the local art scene and writers. There's a very active community of writers here locally. Tell me what your favorite part about just being where you are and doing what you do.
Yeah, I mean, being able to connect with other authors, being a writer is a real lonely job. You know, Wendy as a songwriter gets to go out and perform and connect with audience. As writers, you don't have that as much. And so it is important to be able to connect with other writers and then other lovers of books. And so I've been fortunate enough to get to read at places like Boulder Bookstore and Book Bar and some other places where you get people come together and listen. And hopefully Boulder and Longmont and Denver can kind of keep this going and keep the darkness going. And I love being a part of it.
Well, in our final minutes, I mean, you brought your guitar, so let's just go ahead. Would you like to sing and perform another song for us in the final minutes?
Sure. Thanks so much. Yeah, it's been great connecting with John. I said we were childhood friends, and I followed him on Facebook, and he's hilarious. So when he asked me to do the book, I said to work with him. I was like, if it's anything like your Facebook page, it's going to be hilarious. And so I started downloading and reading his books. And I was like, wow, you're dark. Like, because that last time we saw you were like 10. But the event was great because there was just people from all walks of life and just kids we'd grown up with and people who were out supporting it. And so that was a nice connection.
Okay. Well, take us out.
I can feel the raindrops falling from the sky, the pitter-patter of the raindrops, and this is how we are now. Still we talk about the weather. And how it rains on me. Still we talk about the weather. Oh yeah. Please, please come home. The flag waves half mast today. Well, kids just think it flies that way. And all the things that I want to say, well, please come home, please be safe. Still we talk about the weather. And how it rains on me. Still we talk about the weather. Oh yeah. Please, please come home. And the cell phones be ringing from the pocket of the jacket that you wore, and someone will be waiting on the other side to see you home. Still we talk about the weather. And it rains on me. Still we talk about the weather. Oh, oh. Please come home.
Thank you, songwriter, musician Wendy Wu. We are in the final minute of this conversation with John Bassoff, Longmont-based author, high school teacher. You know, thank you so much to the both of you, Wendy Wu, John Bassoff, for coming in. John Bassoff's latest book is called Beneath Cruel Waters. Where can people find more of your work, both of you? Where can they find you online and find your work?
I'm WendyWu.com. Yeah.
And that's with a double O?
Double O, W-O-O, yeah. And yeah. I play a couple resident gigs where every week up north is where I live in Loveland. So, this is an incredible book. You can't put it down. It's thrilling and scary. And it's just, I really enjoyed the journey. So you definitely pick up a copy and listen to the song.
Yeah, the spoilers all came at the end. So, yeah, it's Fast and Furious.
It's great.
And you can find me at johnbassoff.com. So that's easy too.
Spell your last name?
So it's JonBassoff. And the books, of course, are on Amazon, and this one's in a lot of Barnes and Nobles and as well. So
as local bookstores.
Local bookstores, Boulder Bookstore should have copies of it, and that's where you should go.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both of you. You are listening to KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. In the second half of our public affair, we're going to open up the phone line, see how you feel about the elections. But first, I'm going to play a few messages.